If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Welcome to the Postpartum Coach Podcast, where we embrace our needs as moms, we learn to lead ourselves first, then our families, and where we create our own healing from the inside out to find our way to the work we were meant to do in this world. I'm your host, a fellow mom of three and a certified life coach, Lizzie Langston. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Postpartum Coach Podcast. I'm getting really excited for the holidays and just vacation mode coming up. I hope you guys are doing well. Hope you've been enjoying these interviews. I've done so many interviews recently. It's been really fun for me. So today I have Crystal here. She's a parenting connection expert. I want to have her introduce herself, so I'm not going to say more. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about what you do and who you are, all the things.
Yeah, for sure. I am Crystal, the parenting coach. I'm Canadian. I homeschool. I have four kids. My youngest is 5 and my oldest is 15. I have 3 boys and a girl. Several of my children are neurodivergent, so I have some diagnoses that make it a little bit more difficult to parent. Yeah. ADHD, anxiety, severe anxiety disorder, autism spectrum disorder. Mm-hmm. And when they were little, we didn't know any of this. We just, because it's very high functioning, we just knew that they were difficult. So we might describe them as like strong-willed or difficult or, you know, those deeply feeling kids. There's lots of different terms we use to describe them, but I found myself just hugely struggling as a mom. And I knew about the kind of parenting approach I'm going to talk about today. Some people call it conscious parenting or intentional parenting.
Yeah.
I like to kind of focus it on connection. So I call it radical connection. But I knew about this kind of parenting for a long time. My parents actually parented in a very authoritarian way, my whole life with all of the 8 of us. And my parents had given, me a book when my son was a toddler and said, "We parented wrong. Like, we're sorry. Have this book. Like, there is a better way." And so that was kind of my introduction to this kind of parenting. It was a book called Hold On to Your Kids by Gordon Neufeld. And I loved it. Yeah. But I found that the more I learned about this parenting approach, the more I fell short from my ideals of trying to parent that way.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Like, I can relate. Constantly. I was like, it almost like it put my ideas of what I should be at a higher standard than even like the norm. So then I was like constantly failing, but also at the same time, my son's behaviors were getting really, really severe.
Can I jump in really, really super fast? I can't tell you how much I can relate to that. That's all I wanted to say is just, oh my gosh, like, I'm like, you're speaking my world. I think I would have, it's good. Looking back in the past, I don't know, 3 years, cause my oldest is the trickiest right now and he's 7.5 and we don't have any neurodivergent diagnoses or anything. That's something that we're potentially looking into. I think you and I were talking about that before starting the recording, but, I'm realizing that one of the stumbling blocks that I didn't recognize until you just said that is each time I would reach out for help in my own ways, whether it was a parenting book or finding an Instagram account, I would either feel shame or just more overwhelm. I'm so excited to have you on, Crystal. And this is, I think, one of the reasons we're here crossing paths is for my audience, for me. I'm just really excited to hear more about connection. It just seems like this mysterious light in the darkness.
Yes.
That I feel like intuitively I know it'll work and I've wanted that connective parenting all along. But I think I've been too overwhelmed or too ashamed at times. Mm. So I'm excited for our listeners today Just keep talking. Yeah. It's so great.
The overwhelm is so real because a lot of the parenting tips out there are like, use this phrase or try this thing. And then there's just more things for me to remember to try to do. So that's not what I teach. If you follow me on Instagram, you will know this. I kept thinking like, I wonder if I should give more like practical tips of like, these are phrases you should use. And I was like, no, because really my whole approach is that we can become our own parenting expert. We all have our own inner parenting expert. We just don't listen to it. It's blocked through typically how we were parented that kind of has left some wounds that need to be healed within us. And when we can heal those wounds, that this kind of parenting comes a lot more naturally. And that we all have, like some people call it, your inner knowing or your intuition. And we have that about each of our children. And each of our children are unique and special, and we can figure out how to parent them in the way that's best for them and best for us when we can tap into that. And so my kind of going back to my story a little bit, it kind of got to the time where I was like, something has to change. Like it was very severe. I mean, you can listen on my podcast where I talk a little bit more in detail about how intense the meltdowns were. I don't even call them tantrums anymore because meltdowns are a lot more severe than just a tantrum. But over time, as I was able to change my parenting style and approach with him through kind of doing my own inner work and then found life coaching tools that really amplified the process and made it happen a lot more quickly, his behavior decreased. I mean, I didn't do it to decrease his behavior. I was like, I need to do something so that I can even like be in the same room as him. Mm-hmm. But over time, it was probably about a year later, I remember looking back and thinking, wow, things are like really changed and really shifted. And that was with one specific child. Now I have another one coming up that also has some diagnosis, and we're going through similar things with him, and our whole, process with him is just entirely different because we already have the tools. Right. It's not that it's not hard, because for sure it is.
Yeah.
But I know how to deal with it now. And so now I don't need to go, you know, reach out to people, because I'm like, okay, no, wait, I have the support. I know what I need to do here. So how I help parents right now, I typically work with moms kind of in groups and one-on-one, but I really also love working with couples. I love working with partners who are both trying to parent in a different way and struggling.
That's what I was going to ask you is, I can only imagine if you're going to make these big changes, you kind of need both parents on the same page, which has typically been our struggle. It's like one of us will find a great parenting book and we're like, okay, let's do this. And then the other one will try to read it, but kind of falls through.
So it's hard to get on the same page when it comes to parenting. So what I typically tell people is, like, in order to do this, some people call it attachment-based parenting, but in order to have this secure attachment and to really heal that relationship with your child, you really do only need one parent doing it. It's amazing. It's way,
that's
you
good.
Know, it's going to amplify it if there's two, or if there's more, if there's grandparents, if there's, you know, neighbors. But if you were listening and you're like, but I'm only one, don't feel like it's not going to work for you. And also that it's never too late. You could literally have a teenager. I've had clients come to me that had teens that were in and out of the psych ward or pulling knives or like, you know, suicidal, like very difficult, very difficult children. And it healed their relationship. Like, so don't feel like there's no point at which it's too late for your child or too late for you.
Yeah. I love that. I just feel this like melting happening in my body. Just like, no, it's going to be okay. There is help.
It is.
I love this.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Can I ask you real quick, I think other people might want to know this. I find that most of us on this podcast have younger children. So you've been through this before. How do you get even started? Like, first of all, this word neurodivergent, I think it explains itself, but can you tell us like what specific you mean by that? And then how do you go about finding out that this is something like officially, whether it's a diagnosis or how do you know that? Right. And then how does that inform the way you go about helping your child?
Yeah. So some people use the term neurodiverse or neurodivergent. Usually they're describing kids that either have ASD, which is autism spectrum disorder, ADHD. There's a couple other things that they might say. Some people find it important to have a diagnosis. Some people don't. I wasn't really on the, like, we need to have a diagnosis type train, but at some point I felt like my child wanted to know a little bit more about him and his brain and how it worked. And so it kind of came from him. But I actually found it more helpful than I thought it was going to be, just for my own personal education to be like, oh, okay. So this is, ADHD children are a lot more explosive. And so let's learn more about explosive behaviors and how we can help. So it just kind of helped educate me as to what was going on in his brain, and lower my expectations. Cause I think a lot of times, well, 100% of the time expectations leads to frustrations. And we have these expectations of kids and when they should be shifting to kind of a different stage or level of growth.
We totally do. Happen, I'm like, I'm going to fess up to that right now.
We all do, right? And if it doesn't happen in the growth pattern that we think is going to happen in our brain,
that's a problem.
When we get so frustrated.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally. Well, I just think about like a brand new postpartum mama. If their baby's not walking by 14 months or 12 months, they're starting to be like, ask all the questions, do all the research. I can't speak for y'all, but I can speak for me. And then by your second or third kid, you're just so much more laid back. You're like, it's a spectrum. Yep. Like the percentile is broad. Like it's fine.
I think there's a couple things that really bother people, but one of them is the lack of self-regulation. And so this will happen.
Two hands in the air, like amen. No, it's true. He never, I don't want to like, okay. Hopefully everyone understands that this is in good, loving, informative speech here. But I remember like the child that came after my oldest, like, was soothed with a binky or a blankie, always able to soothe. Oldest child, never. No binkies, no blankies. It's rough. And sometimes I almost feel like getting into a yelling burst soothes him. Like I'm like, because there's no other way he calms down except when he totally maxes out and like losing it. And then
so that's usually like an attachment or relationship issue. And it's not because you are doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
It's because children that are, in Gordon Neufeld's book, he calls them orchid children because they take a lot longer to bloom, but they're like the most beautiful flower.
Oh, he is. And I can feel that. I resonate with that. Thank you. That's so beautiful. I want every mama to hold that in her heart. Like, let's just take a minute. Like if you guys have a difficult child or you think yours might be, just remember, orchid. It's an orchid kid.
Orchid, right? I love that. I would remind myself of that all the time when my kids were little. I'd be like, it's fine. Like it's an orchid. He's still growing.
Yeah.
And just knowing that, like that it's going to take them a little bit longer. It's going to be harder for them to attach and connect. They're probably going to lack self-regulation skills. So typically what we see is around 5 to 7 years old, there's a lot of shifts happening in their brains. And so there's a lot of development. There's a lot of stuff going on. So if you're in the 5 to 7 year old phase and you're really struggling with your kids, just hold on. It will get better. If your child is highly sensitive or an orchid child, it's going to take even longer than that. It's not necessarily going to kick in at age 7. And, as far as self-regulation skills goes, it can actually take up until adulthood. So oftentimes I'll have parents come and be like, but he's 11 now. Like surely he should be able to regulate. But really it's co-regulation.
For a long time.
You have a tiny little baby for a long time. Yeah. You have a tiny little baby. It regulates by like you're holding it on your skin and you're nursing it and you're rocking it, right? All of those things help. And then over time, they need a little bit less and less of that. There's actually a graph of co-regulation. And on the one line, you kind of have the axis of like the lifespan and the other of co-regulation. And it's interesting to see it does go down their need of co-regulation, but it's quite slow. And so,
and you're talking about neurodiverse kids specifically, right? You're not talking about
this is All children across the board.
Oh.
So we often think, okay, but by 5 or by 9 or by 11, like they should have these skills, but it's very common for them not to have those skills yet. So under the age of 12, if you're listening to this, I would suggest that almost all of the self-regulation from them is going to come from you helping them through that.
Okay.
Most of the time, they are not going to have those skills. And I remember hearing that number and thinking, what? I thought it would have been like way lower than that. So even just shifting it to have different expectations,
Different expectations, because
our brains are like, oh, but at 7, right? Your 7-year-old should be able to regulate, but they really shouldn't.
You know, and what's interesting, Crystal, is the better I've gotten. So I've just learned, like, I feel like this could be true. It's possible that I just learned self-regulation after becoming the postpartum coach and creating this process of calm your body, calm your mind, calm your life. I feel like essentially what I'm teaching to women is self-regulation that they never really learned, specifically with anxiety, but then it turns it turns into let's do this for all the emotions and oh my gosh, let's go teach our kids. And then I'm like, wait, but I'm teaching my kids and it's not sticking. And so I love what you're saying is like, don't expect them to be doing it the way you can do it as a full grown adult.
Yeah.
Because the graph, I'll just remember the graph, the axis, it's slow.
I love the graph because I always go back to that and think it's normal. Even if my teenager, I have a teenager now, he's 15 and I'm like, even if he's having a rough day, that's fine. And honestly, like we still do, even as adults, we still, usually we have a partner in which helps us co-regulate. So it's normal for our children not to have that skill. And when you said a lot of your clients come and don't have that skill yet, what I found is that if we were raised in an authoritarian home, which almost all of us have been because that's the generation before us and how they parented. So this is rewards, punishments, yelling, timeouts, grounding, you know, spanking, all of those kinds of authoritarian behaviors. What we often internalized as kids was that we weren't okay and our emotions weren't okay. Because if we were loud, if we cried, if we screamed, we were sent to our room or we were grounded. And subconsciously as a child, we don't know how to differentiate our behavior, our emotions from us. They're all our identity. So when we feel like that's us, right? They're like, you're bad. You go to your room, right? Like we get that subconscious feedback that we're not okay, that there's something wrong with us. So now what happens is as an adult, we have these big emotions. I don't call them positive or negative or good or bad. I refuse to call them that because that just gives them a bad connotation. But as a society, we think those emotions are bad. We think those big emotions that we have are bad because of how we were raised. And not just our parents. I don't know if you read, I love reading older books to my kids. It comes in older books, in older movies. It's like, you know, don't cry and kids should be seen and not heard.
Oh, and totally.
They need to respect us and they need to toe the line. Like that was the culture, just entrenched in the culture. So it wasn't our parents' fault. Like they didn't know there was a different way. But now we have this whole culture, this whole generation of people who don't know how to process their emotions, right? So we as adults don't know how to self-regulate, and co-regulation happens with having a healthy, emotionally intelligent adult model self-regulation to a child who is struggling and being there with them. And you have to have a secure attachment or connection with them. So if those two things aren't present, co-regulation doesn't happen. So a lot of parents still aren't teaching their children co-regulation skills. So even if they're not neurodivergent, even if you just have a normal child, a typical child, I should say, not normal, because we're all normal.
Yes, but, I follow you.
Right. They might be struggling still to co-regulate. So, or to self-regulate. So typically I ask parents, okay, so when your child is screaming and yelling, throwing a tantrum or having a meltdown, how do you respond? Mm-hmm. And usually it is the mirroring emotion. They're like, well, then I get mad, I get frustrated. Right?
And I'm like, good. I'm pretty good at regulating my emotions, but it's like, I have no desire to, I think sometimes when I see him get like that, because of the expectations in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so I'm like loving this so much. So can we talk about co-regulation? Is that okay to go there for a minute?
Totally can go there.
Let's delve into what that looks like, how to do it. I know you said the foundation of it is really the adult knowing how to self-regulate, which is what that is a big part of what we're doing over here in the Postpartum Coach Place. And then how do you kind of walk your kids through that once you're doing that. Yeah.
Let's talk about that. I'll back up a little bit pre-co-regulation, because one of the problems that happens when we're, I call it emotionally reactive. So when we're emotionally reactive, there's a few things going on. So we have to kind of dig into why we're emotionally reactive first before we can help support ourselves and help support them. So one is past beliefs. And so this is like digging into any beliefs that maybe we had, you know, from our childhood, or maybe we currently have, any thoughts that we have that are leading to us to feel triggered. So for instance, we might think like our child is yelling or freaking out. And maybe we think like, that's not okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So why is that not okay? Underneath that maybe was like, well, when I was younger, it wasn't okay for me.
Totally. Right? Yes.
So it's like uncovering why things are a trigger. Another trigger that I find often is like, this problem is my fault. Like if my child's screaming and yelling, it means something about me as a mom. That's called personalization. So another trigger can be personalization. Another trigger can be resentment. Like I'm overwhelmed. I'm burned out. You shouldn't be doing this right now. Do you not see that I like, you know,
that's the one I go to the most. And then I like shame myself, 'cause I'm like, oh, I'm being so narcissistic. Like it's all about me when really my kid's the one that needs help. But it's so true how overwhelmed you can get, especially when there's like repetitive, really annoying behaviors that are not typical.
All of those beliefs lead to us then being triggered. I have a friend who's a behavioral therapist, and she talks about it like being lava in a volcano. So she's like, there's things that like increase your lava, and there's things that like cool your lava down. And so, right. So you might have this anger level, like that's just bubbling, and like one thing might tip it off. So what I help people kind of go through first is let's uncover those beliefs. Let's uncover like, why is this a trigger? What are those triggers? Let's heal those triggers so that it's not so triggering for you.
Right.
First.
And then you can hold the space for your kid.
Yeah.
Which that I'm good at. That I'm good at. But I just get so triggered that I like all my great tools can't even access them.
So there's one more thought tool I'm going to go before I go to that, because I love that you just said you can't access them, because that is 100% what happens. But the one last tool would be expectations. Actually two more. So one is expectations, figuring out having healthy kind of like expectations, which I would say is kind of dropping all of them, because our child is always doing their best. Like the, one of the core beliefs here is
I feel this in my body. You know what? I'm like, I hope y'all can notice your bodies, what they're doing. 'Cause my body is responding right now. My body is like I'm feeling these fences like come down in my body. Like, it's going to be okay. There is a way forward. And yeah, you don't have to be managing, right? It's just like so delicious. I'm just like, yay, keep talking.
It is like, me being able to believe that my child's doing their best, that kids aren't inherently bad, that kids aren't trying to be bad, that it's either like, it's always a lack of skill or something that is missing there, helps you to show up in that way that you just said, right? It's like, oh, okay. Like, this is okay. This is normal.
Yeah.
Nothing has gone wrong here.
Yeah.
So,
and then it gets you searching. It gets you like searching and curious. Right? Which is, that's the conduit through which my tools that I have like all these great tools that I use on myself with my clients. I think that's the open, curious way that these can come through.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big money
at This is so timely because my clients have been asking like, hey, teach us how to teach your kids this stuff. And part of me was like, oh, I have some great ideas. And part of me was like, I'm going to feel like such a hypocrite, because the truth is like, sometimes I feel blocked in my ability to take these amazing, calm your body, calm your mind, calm your life, and like bring them to my kids. So I feel like if there's no other takeaway here today, this is my takeaway I want to invite you guys to consider, is just like, the belief that you offered that they're always doing their best.
I don't know. For me, that feels magical, Crystal, because it goes from
it is.
Shaming, either shaming them or shaming myself or both, to then and me melting down and them continuing to melt down with no help. Mm-hmm. To okay, if they're doing their best, then what tool can I add to their toolkit, or what tool do I need right now to my toolkit so that I can even begin the search to add a tool to their toolkit?
That emotion I call curious compassion, and that's the key emotion to this kind of parenting.
I think it's the key emotion to life. So I don't want to like diminish. I'm like, I think that's the key. I mean, I see that across the board, whether you're trying to grow a business, whether you're trying to calm postpartum anxiety or depression, whether you're trying to like get your kid, whatever, under control, get you under control. Curiosity, curiosity. Shame, no. Curiosity, yes. Curiosity will open the light, the creativity, the intuition, the idea flowage. And the shame will just create more criticism, more disconnection, more isolation,
more shame.
Avoiding, and then more shame because we're not even solving the problem. I know this cycle because I saw it firsthand in my depression postpartum over and over and over again. So it's like the same human behaviors, whether you know it's in parenting or the mental health space. It's just cool to see it.
It's so the same. And it's that curious, like when we can move into that space of curious compassion, another piece that I talk about often is tapping into our inner parenting expert, your inner knowing, your intuition. And just like you said, it's like the conduit to use those tools. And if you might be listening and thinking, but I don't have the tools, we do. We all have access to that deep down, and you'll have tools that are unique to you and your child in your situation when we start tapping into that. And so we have to do that inner healing first, right? So what are all these triggers? What's going on? And one last one I'll mention is also thoughts that lead to disconnection. Mm-hmm. So if I'm thinking my child's annoying, that behavior is annoying, I can't handle this. Why is he always like this? He shouldn't be this way. All of those thoughts are creating disconnection in my body. Mm-hmm. Connection is a feeling that's fueled through our thoughts. So it's intentionally going through all of those to kind of work through them and sift through them. And then also creating thoughts intentionally that lead to connection. And they're usually really simple. Like, I love him.
Or they're doing their best. Like that one to me, I mean, maybe that just creates curiosity, but it does feel like, oh, I can start to take the guard down.
For me. Yeah. I feel that. And when I can stop in the moment and believe that, which is sometimes hard to get to, but when I can, then I'm able to show up differently. Mm-hmm. So those are all kind of the thought things that we go through. There's several different ones that we work through, but like you said, sometimes I can't access them. Mm-hmm. And when you can't access them, it's because the emotion is a little bit too strong. So what I do for that situation, which a lot of moms come to me with, is we work on emotions first. We don't even go into thought work. We're like, not even going to go into the triggers. We're just going to like work on our feelings.
Yeah.
So first we're going to notice like, how am I feeling in that moment? And just being really mindful in the moment when you feel like you can't access your tools, just stopping and creating a space between you and your reactions.
I want
so the input, whatever stimulus is coming in, and then your response to your child. So I like to put my hand on my heart because I'm such a physical person. I love putting my hand on my heart and taking a really deep breath, taking a few really deep cleansing breaths, and then just becoming a little bit mindful of what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
I call this I one little kind of trick that you can use is your zones, red zone, green zone, yellow zone, like the green light, red light, yellow light. So when I'm in my red space, I kind of know how that feels in my body. And I know that I shouldn't respond or react. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go take myself out of the situation for a bit till I can go back to yellow or green. And when I can know that I'm in my yellow space, then there's things that can help me kind of move back down to my green space as well. But in some moments, like you're at the pool with your kid and your kid won't leave the pool because they just want to be there and they're kicking and screaming and you're like noticing your like heat rise and everybody else is kind of looking at you as you're dealing with this kid that's freaking out, right? Who does not have a situation like that with their toddler.
Yeah.
And, just stopping and taking just a couple deep breaths. Even just that, like
that,
breath is like
the breath. So I'm like, my clients know we talk about breath is home. Breath is home. Breath is your friend. There was a thought I had when you were saying all that. I think that, so I have quite a bit of trauma, like from childhood that I'm working through, as we all probably do in our own ways. Mm-hmm. And so I think that for me, sometimes it's not even like, I mean, there probably is an emotion, but the trigger is so, it's like I go into safety, like fight or flight mode. It's not like I'm just feeling anger. It's like I feel legitimately in danger because of the traumas that replay in my mind right, that are unresolved still. From like when, you know, like when my siblings were doing this or that or whatever was happening. And so, I think like there can never be enough body calming in that moment.
Yeah. Just like that's when you don't want to go to your thought work, like exactly how you just
go to the body, like for sure.
That is when you're in, we call it your state of alarm. Your brain is in alarm. And that is also actually what your kids are in that moment. So the behavior that you're talking about in them,
because I'm mirroring
for them also,
because it's like a mirror.
Right. So then we're both in alarm. So we're not really going to be as helpful. And that's when I go to my body. That's when I'm like, hey, let's just take a deep breath and let's not respond right now.
I'm loving this so much. I want to reemphasize. And I think this is something I say often, but I'm like, the body really is a gift. And I'm like, Crystal and I are saying it's really pretty to see the body show up in both of these ways, right? Like I'm helping mamas postpartum depression and anxiety. You're helping with the parenting, but look how the body is the refuge and is the rootedness and the groundedness that we really truly need. Like we think and we want to work our way out of it mentally. We want to think our way out of anxiety. We want to think our way through depression or whatever, and or think our way through a kid's tantrum. And I love that we're both like witnesses to the body first, like the body first. And when you,
because when you can do that, then that's when you can tap in, right? Like that's when you tap into that inner knowing, that parenting power,
the intuition, and your brain is so much better used when your body's calm. Your brain is like so much more effective.
Yeah. And so when you're in your emotional brain, it's like a teeter totter. Your emotions are high and your logic is low. So we often are like trying to teach our kids a lesson or like teach them this behavior is not okay. That is not when teaching is going to happen. It is literally going to go in their ear and out the other. There's no time when you should try and teach in the fire. So the fire would be like your angry emotions,
your nervous system. Yeah.
Yeah. Like teaching is not in those moments.
Yeah.
And so one of the questions you asked was, well, how do we teach this to our kids? Well, I would say for anyone that's listening that has kids under 8, maybe even under 10 or 12, it's usually indirectly. So role modeling
through
behavior.
Through your own work.
Totally. 80% of the time it's role modeling the behavior.
I'm like, good.
Yes, that's it. And 20% of the time you can actually teach, but teaching still through mostly through play and through reading books to them and through telling them stories. So a few books, if you're listening, The Color Monster is great. In My Heart, A Book of Feelings is also great. And what if something like, what if my feelings, what if a book of feelings, something like that. So those three, feelings books are fabulous. So read them to your little kids. I actually teach my kids the process of feeling their feelings, like sitting still with it. What color is it? Where is it in your body? But that doesn't work when they're in their red zone. So figuring out what works for your kids in red, because it's going to be different than what's works for them in yellow. So my kids will do this in yellow, my 8 and my 5-year-old, my teenager probably wouldn't. But my younger kids will, but in the red zone, it really is just allowing them space. So I'm going to let them just sit there and explode. Maybe they slam the door. Maybe they're screaming and yelling. Maybe I go into their room with them so that we're not like hitting other people. And I can calmly like calm myself down and be present. If you can't say anything kind, just calm yourself and be present. Don't say anything.
If you can't say anything kind, calm yourself and be present.
It is. Done. Just calm yourself. I put my hand on my heart because that always helps me. I take a few deep breaths and I don't say anything. But if I feel like I can respond, I'm going to say something simple like, you know, I'm here with you. You can be as mad as you want. It's okay. You're feeling anger. Anger is a normal emotion. You can feel angry as much as you want. Sometimes we want to match their tonality also, because they might not want to hear that if they're like screaming and yelling. Like we could be something like, yeah, you're so mad right now. Like, I get mad too.
You're
and
so
I
mad.
Feel mad. I feel like I want to kick and hit and punch. Like that's how it feels in my body. Is that how you feel right now? Just to help them kind of verbalize that. Sometimes they won't even want that. Like deeply feeling kids aren't probably going to want you to say anything. They're probably just going to want you to sit there, maybe not even in their room, maybe outside of their room. And I have to say that this is not a timeout. This is never a timeout. This is like them taking themselves to their room or you going to their room with them to make sure that they're not feeling like it's a separation because there's something wrong with them or because they've done something wrong. Yeah. This is to help them regulate. Yeah. So it's not the same thing as like, go to your room, you've done something wrong. It's like, okay, we're going to go over here so we don't, you know, keep hitting our brother.
Yeah.
while we sit and do this. And typically they just want to scream and yell and kind of get it out. And then the other really important piece is to reconnect, because it's a break in connection when that happens, a little separation. And so taking time to sit and snuggle or tell them, you know,
oh, I feel that good. Same way I'm too. Like, you know what? I'm good at that. I am good at reconnecting. So I may not have all the things figured out with my oldest, but I am really good at when the fire dies down, loving on him.
Yeah.
And like, cause I love him and I want to feel connection with him. And when he has these big blow ups, you know, it's like, so this is so good. This is so fun. I've learned so much. I hope you guys all have too. We're kind of wrapping up. Is there any final little tidbits you want to leave us with as far as like, I don't know, this all?
Yeah.
All
this? I'm going to leave one thing I've been thinking of lately, cause I see this on Facebook groups all the time where people ask me this, like, but what about when my 3-year-old bites? Like, that's surely not okay. Or what if they hit? Or like, what if my 5-year-old, you know, yells at me or tells me that he hates me? When we focus so much on behavior modification, it's like very external. It's like focusing on all the things that they're doing that are annoying or frustrating or that we don't like. It keeps us from connection.
It's not
the root cause. It never is. And we go to external factors to try and fix it, right? We're like timeouts, punishments, rewards, take away the Xbox, all these things. Like, those things will not help an internal struggle. We use external things thinking that it's going to help this external thing that we see when it's never external. And so we don't focus on behavior modification. We focus on connection and really what's going on behind the scenes. So No matter what struggle you're feeling like, but this doesn't fit, it all fits. So write that struggle down and then think, okay, well, how could this fit? How could I focus on connection and relationship first? Mm-hmm. And maybe it's too hard for you to go there. So maybe just focus it in on yourself first. Yeah. How can I connect with myself today?
Yes. Okay. Next. This is so good. So if you're really, 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 really depressive and anxious and working on connection with yourself, like, come see me, the postpartum coach, because that is what we do. And if you are really, 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 really needing to connect with your kid, and you know that your kid maybe even needs to connect with themselves and with you, then it sounds like Crystal would be an amazing fit, especially if they're a little bit older. What are your typical ranges for your clients' children?
Yeah, I usually say like 5 or 8-ish to 15, but a lot of them have a lot of kids that are a lot of different ages. So sometimes they are still in the baby toddler phase and they're still in the teen phase. But connection-based parenting can work at any age. I've worked with parents with adult children. It really does. It's our approach to relationships. So if you feel like there's a relationship issue and you really want to heal it and you feel like connection is kind of speaking to you, intentionality, conscious parenting, if that's been really speaking to you, maybe you follow some people that you're like, oh, this sounds really lovely and like airy and like free and light. But that is actually possible for you.
Yeah,
and it was possible for me, and I so enjoy my parenting. I so enjoy motherhood. There are very few days when I even notice a feeling of overwhelm anymore. There are very few days where I yell at all, and not because I'm trying to force myself not to yell. It just doesn't come. It has completely changed. Like, I could tear up thinking about how it was a few years ago to how it is now. I sometimes do, just sitting during the day. I'm like, it's amazing. It's amazing. And it is possible. And it's possible through your own inner healing. The most effective way to raise emotionally intelligent children, which I think we all want, is to turn inwards and to become an emotionally intelligent adult first.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yes. That is the work we do. I love that. Oh, this is so good. I just want to thank you for being here. And I also want to encourage everybody to make sure you send this. If you have a friend who maybe you have just like a little newborn, but maybe your older sister has multiple kids that are a little bit older and she's got the toddler or the emerging teenager struggles and that she's really going through. I just want to invite you to send this episode off to somebody that comes to mind if it doesn't quite fit with like the ages of your kids or where you're at in your motherhood. Because this is beautiful, beautiful work, and I for sure will be drawing closer to you, Crystal, and learning more from you. So I just want to thank you so, so much for giving your bright light and your hope and your energy, your confidence. Like, you can just tell when I wish you all could see her when she's talking, like you can just tell she's lived it. And, it's like a smile that's always in your eyes. It's really pretty. So thank you so much. If they want to come follow you or if somebody they know wants to come check you out, where would they go?
Instagram and my podcast. So Instagram, I'm the.parenting.coach. Check me out there. I often, every few months, I have some free workshops and stuff you can come to where we talk all about all of these kind of triggers that are underneath it all. And also my podcast, the Freedom Moms podcast. So I talk a lot about connection-based parenting there, and then tools that we can use to kind of help support us through that connection journey.
Okay. So the Freedom Moms podcast or the.parenting.coach on Instagram.
Yep. That's so me. Those are the two places I love hanging out.
Oh, good. And Canada.
And Canada. You can also come see me in real life.
But only if you're vaccinated. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, that's true. That's true. They don't let anybody across. It's crazy right now.
I know. Goodness. Here's to better times, eh?
Yes. Thank you, Lizzie. Thanks for having
Crystal.
Me on today.
Hi, my darling friend, Lizzie here. If you love the content here on my podcast, then you need to check out the Postpartum Coach membership. My membership is where you can bridge the gap between listening and understanding healing postpartum on a logical level and then applying it and feeling change. That's what we do in the membership. The most valuable tool that I have for you in my membership by far is the Postpartum Anxiety course. It's my course where I walk you through my three-part postpartum healing process. You can watch or listen to the course. I made it for moms, digestible and to the point. Then you've got a private podcast, a members only Facebook community, as well as the trifecta of postpartum healing, weekly coaching, meditation, and yoga. You do not want to miss my membership if you are postpartum and are serious about healing. So go to lizzielangston.com/membership today and step into your healing. That's lizzielangston.com/membership. I'll see you inside, my love.